we're back here on WLS AM 890. John and Ray are off. Lauren Cohn and Chris Bury here today. Chris, North Korea detains a U.S. citizen and threatens to strike a U.S. aircraft carrier. Are we on the brink with North Korea? I can't think of anyone better to talk about this than Senior Fellow, National Security Affairs at Heritage Foundation, Peter Brooks. Hey, Peter. Hey, Peter.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Are we on the brink with North Korea? What is going on with Kim Jong-un?
We're not on the air yet. Is that right?
We are.
We are.
We are on the air. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. I didn't hear the lead in. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think we're on the brink. I think there's a lot of overheated rhetoric. I think there is a possibility that he will light off a nuclear test tomorrow. It's the 85th anniversary of the Korean People's Army. But I don't think we're on a war footing. North Korea uses a lot of this rhetoric. It sometimes doesn't make it into the mainstream news every day, the stuff we see all the time. This is not that uncommon. Now, I'm not telling you not to take this seriously. He's committed to increasing the capabilities of his ballistic missile program, his nuclear program. This would be his sixth test if he actually does do one tomorrow or sometime in the near future. But at war on the Korean Peninsula is something everybody's got to step back and think about. The level of violence would be magnitudes greater than we've seen in the last 15 years fighting in places like Iraq in Afghanistan.
Right. This is Peter. This is Chris Bury. I mean, people have to understand this is not like dropping a bomb on Syria or Afghanistan. We're talking the second biggest metropolitan area in the world, Seoul, with 25 million people, not to mention nearly a division-sized U.S. forces, right? Nearly 30,000 American troops within a few miles of the DMZ.
Yeah, no, the DMZ is a total misnomer. It's not demilitarized at all. It's the most heavily militarized line of demarcation in the world today. North Korea has an army of 1 million. They have 100,000 special forces. They have chemical weapons. People just need to remember a few weeks ago when the North Korean agents offed the brother of Kim Jong-un with VX nerve agent. We saw sarin gas used in Syria. This is another type of nerve agent. They may be able to launch those nukes. They have a limited number of nukes, but they may be able to launch them. And you're right. Seoul is a megalopolis of 20-some million people. It's 25 miles from a demilitarized zone. I don't want to understate what our brave young men and women have gone through the last 15 years, but this is just very, very different. We'd require a tremendous number of U.S. forces. We don't know what the Chinese would do. People should think back to 1950 when General MacArthur landed at Incheon and drove towards the Chinese border, decimating the North Korean forces, and the Chinese sent over the border 200,000 what they called volunteers, and it changed the course of the war. In fact, we're still at war. This is just an armistice.
Well, speaking of war, how would you characterize what's heating up with Russia? You know, putting a military aircraft flying over the coast of Alaska, Putin putting us on notice.
Yeah, this is something I wouldn't, like I said, you have to take it seriously, but this is Cold War antics. I was in the Navy during the Cold War. I saw some of this up close and personal. Sending some bombers, over that, it sends an unhappy signal, but I don't see them as a threat to us at this point.
And now you've got the Russians, you've got the Russians and the Chinese. Their spy ships are tailing our aircraft carrier group, the Carl Vinson, as it heads to the North Korean Peninsula or the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah.
And we have a new wrinkle, and that is an American, a Korean-American, has just been arrested at the airport in Pyongyang, Tony Kim. He's the third American who's now been taken prisoner. Is this problematic for President Trump now? Because, the others were arrested on Obama's watch. Now President Trump has to deal with the fact that an American has been taken hostage by the Koreans.
Yeah, I mean, North Koreans are gathering bargaining chips. There's no question about it, because they're worried. They realize that if there is a war, the United States would prevail. South Korea and the United States as allies would prevail. I don't think that he's crazy. I think he's as crazy as a fox or dumb as a fox. And I don't believe that he's suicidal, because if you're an authoritarian regime, job number one is regime survival. So what they want to do is they want acquiescence. They don't want to fight. They want us to give in to things, but they don't want to fight us because they realize they would lose. Like I said, it would be a terrible war. It's the last thing we want to see. But, you know, the Chinese and the Russians are, you know, are sending signals as well. I mean, people forget that Russia borders North Korea. You know, it's not far from the major city, Russian far eastern city of Vladivostok. They have interests there. They were involved in the Korean War. So there's a lot of people, you know, spying happens. So don't get too excited about that. I mean, we spy, they spy. People watch each other. They send signals.
Oh, come on, Peter. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, right. No, I know. I understand it. It's very sexy. I don't doubt that. But I want to, you know, for people who, you know, geeks like me who watch this stuff very closely, these sort of things happen all the time.
Yeah, but Vice President Pence is saying the era of strategic patience is over. What does that mean?
Right. Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the vice president, of course. My sense of things is that during the Obama administration, the policy towards North Korea was called strategic patience, which they used that a couple of other times, like in Iraq and other, or in Syria and other places. And it always made me nervous because it made me wonder if they really knew how to plan. In other words, do they really have a plan for dealing with this? And under the Obama administration, North Korea made great strides in its ballistic missile and its nuclear program. I mean, I think 4 out of the 5 nuclear tests that we've had so far took place under the Obama administration. And they lit one off shortly after he came into office in 2009 as well. So what I think it means is that we're going to take a tougher stance. And the tougher stance doesn't mean taking a military steps. There's lots of other things you can do. I mean, if you really want to squeeze North Korea, you can go after them economically, especially on international banking.
Right.
And the Bush administration did this to some effect. Back after the first nuclear test, they went after their international banking in a place called Macau, and the North Koreans came to the negotiating table. So there's a lot of things you can do otherwise. I mean, condemnation, I mean, it's good, but it's not that effective. Going to the United Nations, if everybody doesn't abide by UN sanctions, is not helpful. But the United States, still as the preeminent economic power in the world, can go after international banking and made it very difficult. North Korea doesn't export a lot of stuff, but they do export some things. A lot of it's things like missiles and counterfeit goods, but they need hard currency to placate the elites.
All right,
so they do that. So you can do that.
Well, it's always good to have you on the show, Senior Fellow National Security Affairs at Heritage Foundation's Peter Brooks. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Peter. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.